This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Thursday. Time for the Think Tank. A few minutes past 5 p.m. We have an all-star lineup today. All veterans here. We have Stacey Washington, Jeffrey Boyd from the 22nd in the City, and Keith Antone. How are you guys doing? Good to see you.
Good.
You all look especially good today. What's going on here? You and your velvet dress and everything?
Bringing my A game.
I'm saying.
I don't get to come in here a lot, so I'm reminiscing about the good old days when I came in here in sweats and tennis shoes.
Yeah. I want to start somewhere weird today. Let's start high concept, because I was watching television this morning, and of course, this is the world I live in, being in the media myself, but I had this question. I'd like each of you to kind of address. What is the difference between, in 2020, news and propaganda? I feel like it's thinner and thinner all the time.
In my mind, news is about facts and propaganda is about smoke and mirrors. Oftentimes, politicians run for office and it's about selling you a dream. Have no intentions of doing anything that they're talking about or most things that they're talking about. And news is basically things that are fact checked. And things that you know people have accomplished. When they talk about their accomplishments and they talk about their abilities and their qualifications, they have something to back it up.
You know, with me, I think the news is the things that happen and you report it. The propaganda is really more what I would consider to be your opinion, okay? And this is the way I'm going to spin it. This is the way I see it. This is the way I personally feel. And I think, to a certain extent, all of us have a certain amount of propaganda that we portray.
Yeah.
And so
Walter Cronkite had an opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I really think it's the difference between your opinion and, you know, someone just straight shooting the news. So that's my take on it.
Well, my take is that opinions are your personal thoughts and feelings on issues. They're your personal views. And news is what happens reported independently without opinion injected into it. It's what, when, where, how. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then propaganda is an agenda that is created by individuals who wish to sway opinion in a certain way. So there is a difference between propaganda and opinion, because if that's the case, then we're all propagandists. And what does propaganda mean if all of us are doing it?
Right.
So.
It seems to me that when I was a kid and a young man, that it was probably 90-10, 90%, 10%, 90% news. And then you'd have, I remember even like the local anchor behind him, it would say opinion, and they would give an opinion, or the opinion in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Now I feel like it is flipped, and maybe you get 10% just, hey, this happened. There's 144 new, you know, coronavirus cases or what have you. And it's so subtle, like not just to pick on the left or CNN, but I flip around like most people. And in the mornings, the Poppy and what's his name show, which bills
Poppy Harlow.
There you go. Which bills itself as news, yet they just can't not spin it. And Fox does the same thing. But I just feel like it is a real disservice to our country and to especially the young people of our country that they're going to grow up not really knowing what news is. They're going to think that propaganda is news.
Yeah, but if we go back to the, you know, YouTube is forever. We go back to the tapes of, like, let's say the Clarence Thomas hearings and look at how the senators behaved in that and then look at how the news reported it. There was a slant back then. So that's, what, 25 years ago? And if you go back to my childhood, I remember distinctly my dad would get up at 6 and I'd be up by 6:30 and the TV would come on and we're watching Armed Forces Network. So there's one channel. And in the morning, it was from about 5 a.m. until 8, it was CNN. And Bobby Bautista and Lynn Vaughn would literally sit with one of those little fat back computers in front of them. And they would glance down and say, you know, Joe so-and-so reporter is going to come to us from, you know, in this foreign country. Mm-hmm. And then they would go to him and he would be on the ground reporting the news. Contrast that with what you see now today on CNN. There is no news on CNN. And I'm saying that as someone who's been on there and they've actually sent me topics beforehand and said, this is what we're talking about. And then I get I'm on the chair just a few streets over from here at Channel 9 studio. The camera goes live and he says, today we're going to talk to Stacey Washington about so-and-so. Now, I'm well read. I keep up on the news, but I can't know every single topic and be able to discuss it. I at least need to have some kind of notice. This is what we're going to talk about. And they would do that to me so routinely that I no longer go on that station. Not because I don't want the traction. I mean, their ratings are in the trash can, but there's still millions of people who watch that. And I would love for them to hear the perspective of a black conservative from a Christian worldview. But I can't go on there if they're going to try to trick me into looking unprepared. That is when you get into propaganda. I was recently quoted in a news story down in Jefferson City. They misquoted me because they need to make me look unintelligent because I'm a conservative. I'm black and I'm not supposed to be over here. I'm supposed to be with the Democrats. So I have to be maligned. I have to be attacked and I have to be made to look to be less than I really am. Instead of just presenting me as news should, as face value, take it or leave it. If you don't like what she says, don't like it. If you don't like her, don't like it. They have to actually degrade me and downgrade the way that I speak, my language and my viewpoint in order to make it so that I can't be validly over here on the right. That's propaganda. Opinions, we all have them. We all have a right to them. And those are important to have. And I want to hear other people's opinions, but I also would like to hear news. And that's where parenting comes in. You have to teach your kids how to discern propaganda from news. But if you don't know the truth yourself, then you're probably not going to get that propaganda meter right.
Good answers. Jeffrey, I like what you said, too, about the difference between in campaigning facts. Dave Glover, I want a new radio show. I've been on the air 20 years. Here are my ratings. Here's my revenue. As opposed to, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And everyone's going to listen and I'm going to have a 50 share. That's just make-believe.
Yeah. And then news, in my mind, have become about sensationalizing stories instead of just really talking about the facts and how you can help people overcome adversity or whatever the issue may be at that moment. And it's really sad. I mean, I take to heart what Stacey just said about, you know, people trying to just tear you down because they do have an agenda. And all the cable networks, I look at all of them. I flip through and all of them have an agenda at the end of the day. But I like to be able to discern what the facts really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. And that is what I try to teach, you know, my kids, to discern between, you know, what's reality and what's real.
Yeah, we're so desensitized. Like, this is a little bit in the weeds, but I can't stand the Fox News alert because it's never an alert. It's always the same story that you've been doing for 8 hours.
I love the way it sounds. Ding.
I know.
It's the bell.
Because you're just like Pavlov's dog. You're like, oh my God, it's a Fox News alert. And then they're like, it's the same damn thing.
Well, so CNN does the same thing too, right? At the top of the hour. Breaking news.
Yeah.
Right? This is what you've been wanting because I
watched
the
12-hour countdown to Mayor Pete's.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So I think they all do it.
So we don't have cable. So I don't get the Fox News alert unless I'm in someone's studio or if I'm at Fox News. So I don't get it. So that's why I like hearing it because I never get to hear it. I don't hear the Fox News alert. But I do get to, because I only watch the clips and I only watch news online, I get to kind of say, okay, instead of watching the whole show where a show is crafted, you have a monologue and then you have guests and then you have stories and all of that, I'm just watching bits of it and then I'm going and finding out, what do these other people have to say about the same thing? It takes me longer, but I know I've gotten more than one perspective. And the Bible says you're supposed to take all of the viewpoints before you form your opinion. And you lay them up against, obviously, the facts, which takes research. And then you say, what does God's word say about this? Which you should have known to begin with because you should have been studying your word. Now, I know if you're listening and you're secular, that's nothing to you and that's fine. But Dave asked me in to share my opinion.
Mm-hmm. You remind me a lot of Alvin Reed. The two of you calm me because a lot of times, Stace, I'll have you on, and even I will be like, Stacey, this just happened. And you're always like,
you never look
yeah,
like that.
I don't
you
really
always
care.
Look cool.
Like, but you'll say, like, you know what? I don't care about that.
Well, I don't care about some of that stuff. Some of the stuff, honestly, the older you get, the less you care about everything. There's this couple of sayings online that are not safe for work that kind of apply that you just don't care. But it's not that you don't care about anything. It's just that some of the stuff, if you have to boil everything down and say, look, I only have so many hours of the day that I can pay attention to something. And I need to make sure that what I'm paying attention to is in the majors. And then you add in the minor stuff as needed.
Yeah.
Then you will get to a place where you're kind of like, well, I mean, I do care about some of the stories, but I don't care enough for it to be like my major main thing. And some of this stuff, like, we are so far away from, even though obviously the Democrats are in a real battle over who's going to be their nominee, we're still kind of far away from them making the total decision. So it's not catastrophic yet. I mean, I just did a thing on LiveSet TV about the end of days for the Democrats if Bernie Sanders is the nominee. Well, is it really going to be the end of days? I don't think so. But James Carville does. So I watched him talk about it on MSNBC. And he had some great comments.
And it's so interesting you said it, because I don't even think that, you know, it's way too early, as you talk about the nominees. It's way too early. Back in 1992, the first 11 caucuses, Bill Clinton lost the first 11 caucuses slash primaries. The first 11. And he went on to what? Become president for 8 years. So I think you're absolutely right. It's way too early. Pete's
but
not
to your
make...
original point, though, that's not going to sell donuts.
No.
To say, like, hey, what's going on in 2020? Well, it's kind of early. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
That doesn't sell.
Well, yeah.
But there's so much news. So this is what I've done. So you go through, go to CNN on YouTube, see what all the clips are. Go to MSNBC, go to Fox News. Then head over and check out somebody like Tim Pool or some of these younger people who they just do it like a 10 to 20 minute show on one or two topics, or go to one of your blog sites where they do highlights of the news. There's so much news. I remember when we used to actually be able to get a fully rounded view of what was going on in our country. No offense to other countries. I mean, God love you, but I want to know what's going on in America. And we don't get that anymore. Like, you can get a little bit at night on the nightly news, but some of that's just the rip and read from the AP, and I no longer trust the AP. So I'm kind of like, dang, I know that where you got that story. Like, unless it's from St. Louis and they're actually on the street interviewing St. Louisans, a lot of that stuff just gets ripped and read from AP.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope I have a calming influence, because I oftentimes will be just driving to the next thing thinking, turmoil, destruction. But it's not. It's not turmoil and destruction. We're in America, for goodness sakes. It's awesome. All the time.
Let me, Tony Colombo asked a good question last night, and Rich, I don't remember who he asked it of, but it was Jeff Smith. He said, which is worse for the Democrat Party, 4 more years of Donald Trump or a Bernie Sanders presidency? I thought that was an interesting question. Like, 20 years from now, which of those would be worse for the Democrat Party?
Of course, 4 more years of Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Four more years. You guys haven't seen the clips of, well, first of all, Bernie Sanders vacationed in communist countries for his honeymoon. The guy actually thinks communism would be a viable option for America. He is advocating for privatizing or taking the private healthcare market away from 177 million Americans, like my husband and our family, where we get employer-sponsored insurance. 177 million people would no longer have insurance for 30 million people who are uninsured, who need an option. He's all of his policies are top-down government control. He believes, he's actually said it, he's never denounced it, that the government should own the means of production, which means we're sitting in the studio right now, which I believe is owned by Intercom, and he believes that the government should own the station. Good luck getting our three permanently tanned butts on the air if the government owns this station. I mean, you guys... The worst thing that could ever happen to the Democrats, which I'm sorry, guys, but I hope it does happen, is that Bernie Sanders is your nominee, because if he ever becomes the president,
he
will destroy the Democrats. I think what y'all should be advocating for in letters and calls and whatever you can do is that the Democrats would say, you can't actually be our nominee because you're not a Democrat. He's not a Democrat and he's not one of you. I believe you guys are like regular Americans and you've served in the military. That guy's never had a real job. How can you possibly say a socialist would be good for America?
All right, we'll pick it up right after this, and I'm going to try to stop thinking about Keith Antone's permanently tanned butt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS Think Tank. We have Stacey Washington, Jeffrey Boyd from, I almost called it the Double Deuce. Please tell me no one calls the 22nd to double
they
tooth.
They do all the time.
They do all the time. No, they
okay,
do.
I thought, man, tooth. I thought I'd
just
wandered into
from the double tooth, baby.
I thought I walked into douchebag territory there. Like Jeffrey's gonna stand up, smack me, and walk out.
No,
like don't say double tooth. Yeah. Oh my god,
we say it all the time.
Okay, good. I'm cool then.
That's the only way I know him is JB from the double tooth.
I fell backwards into cool and Keith Antone. Okay, so Tony's question from yesterday turned out to be a good one. I asked my panel which is worse for the Democrat Party long term, 4 more years of Donald Trump or a Bernie Sanders presidency. Keith and Jeffrey both immediately said, oh, Bernie Sanders, and Stacey took him to school about
took
why
to
that's not true.
Took us up one side, down the other. Four years of Donald Duck would be better than Donald Trump. Yeah. So let me just put it out there. That. Anybody we have in the field right now will be better than Donald Trump. Period, point blank, end of story.
Yeah, here's what I want to push about the current president. The current president is a very divisive person. He cares only about people with money. He's a liar.
And very few of those.
Integrity means absolutely nothing to him. I think that I'm looking at the Republican Party potentially imploding, all getting behind somebody that they know is unrighteous. I think what happened with the impeachment trial, and everybody knew that he would not be convicted. But look at what has happened with Roger Stone's sentencing. Look at how he's attacked the people who were honorable enough to come up and testify that they know of some wrongdoing. We are headed toward just devastation with Donald Trump. I mean, it's... To me, he's un-American.
Okay, wait.
And he's very I'd rather have somebody there that you can bicker and fight with and try to make sauce and get something done than somebody I cannot trust.
So now that you've attacked him personally and all of the kind of CNN talking points, could either one of you...
No, those are Jeffrey Boyd talking points.
Okay, awesome. Good for you. Can either one of you give me the things that the Democrats would actually accomplish in the economy, the health sector... in anything, any area of public life that is impacted by the federal government, which candidate, any candidate, what Democratic Party platform item? Because I understand that people don't like Donald Trump, but I'm looking at results. I'm talking about the reduction in regulation, the judges that he's appointed that I'm totally on board with. I don't think he's a liar. I've met the man. I know he's not a racist. And I absolutely know he cares about more than rich people because I'm not rich and I benefited from the tax cut. There are other ways that I've benefited from his presidency. I could go on and on, but I'm just dying to hear how your candidate, any one of them, is going to do better on the economy, foreign policy, jobs, health care, any of the items.
Well, Stacey,
judges.
First of all, the economy was a decent economy when he inherited it.
I don't need decent.
Yes.
I need
he made
awesome.
Some policies that may have made it better. Yes, but at the end of the day, our economy
you're still not
is
telling me what your guy
who?
Would do.
It's working for who? One of the things
everyone.
That I'm sure the Democrats
wages are
would
up
do.
For everyone. The largest wage increase we've had since I've been an adult is in the lower income spectrum. People who are working minimum wage and retail have a larger increase in their wages than the people in management.
Some wages are up in the city of St. Louis are getting ready to come up because the city of St. Louis embraced $15 an hour.
I'm talking about what we already have done in the economy that is demonstrable through the reporting that has come from our federal agencies.
People that I represent have not felt this booming economy impacting them in a great way. Now, you live in a world, in a universe that you're doing well for yourself. I'm sure you're at least a middle-class African-American family. The people that I represent are poor people. They are struggling. They're working two jobs to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. They don't have money invested in the stock market.
It's not about
stocks.
They're
not doing well.
There are Americans
stock,
who
because
are.
Because I hear that talking part all the time.
Wait a minute.
Mark Cox likes to say, what about your 401k?
Wait a minute.
401k?
So you're saying that wage increases and lowest unemployment, record low unemployment for blacks.
He got handed that, Stacey, and you
no,
know that.
No, absolutely not.
That.
No, you can track the jobs
going
up.
When Obama had it, and
you
know
can
the economy
track the
was
jobs
in the tank.
Going up. Okay. Of course, there was some increase during the Obama administration. Okay. I'm about the facts,
major
so I'm not going to sit over here and say that
the
there was none.
Obama took over.
But so we're going back to blaming Bush?
No,
I asked you guys to tell
anybody.
Me what
we're
your guys
what
would do to improve the economy. If you want to go into the Obama years and
let's
rehash
talk
that,
about affordable
we can do it.
I think the Democrats are going to focus on making affordable health care even better. Right now, a lot of our constituents are struggling with medical debt. Because they don't have affordable health care insurance. And the Republicans are running around here trying to take
away Medicaid for
pre-existing
all?
Illnesses.
No, they're not. President Trump's policy on health care is not to take away pre-existing conditions. Check the website.
Okay.
What else you got? Okay, well, I'd like to share. So here's what we've got. We have done a ton of things to improve the economy under President Trump. And that's a that is the reduction in regulations that unleashed our small business owners.
Well, but you can't show us,
you can't show a specific instance where the reduction in okay, but that's impacting jobs. That's actually doing
impacting people's health.
Okay, I can't agree with you on that. And I have to say, it's funny that I'm sitting here waiting on y'all to tell me about y'all's candidates and what they can do.
Well, first of all, I'm not running for president, so I'm not going to offend anybody.
But you're
going to
vote
running.
For them. But you said any of them would be better than Donald Trump.
Honorable, who's divisive, and who does not really care about them.
Your children aren't exposed to him.
He's the president of the United States. They listen to what he says. They read these ridiculous tweets. They are exposed to him.
Your children read Twitter?
Yes, I have teenagers. I have grown children.
Okay, so do I.
So why would you think, first of all, why would you think my kids don't read Twitter?
Well, because I was assuming they were a little bit younger, and I never let my kids have access to that kind of social media until they were teenagers. And now that they're teenagers, they understand that if you're reading tweets, you're reading them in context. So I actually don't have a problem with the president's Twitter feed. I also didn't have a problem because I voted for Bill Clinton. That was my first vote. His second presidential run was my first vote. So I don't have a problem with that. People who go in to do tough jobs, dirty jobs, often are not the same demeanor as our sweater vest wearing friend Mitt Romney. And he would have lost and he would have been completely overtaken by Nancy Pelosi and the squad where President Trump has stood up to them. Now, again, this isn't about whether or not you like him or his tweets. I'm talking about policy. And I haven't heard anything yet.
Let me ask you this. If you had a person in a community and this person was robbing and stealing and hurting other people.
Is that what Donald Trump is doing?
Listen. Okay. And they were robbing and stealing and taking advantage of people. However, they were taking some of that revenue and they were actually helping people who were in great need. Does that make that person a good person?
Of course not. Okay. Who's doing that? President Trump is robbing people and stealing from them and then giving it to a few rich folks.
What I'm saying is you're saying he's doing some good work, but at the end of the day,
he's done awesome work.
People up.
You're divided because you're
giving it to rich folk. He's giving it's his family is the straight.
The tax cut benefit the wealthy. They don't
and
need
me,
any more money.
Who I'm not wealthy.
It didn't benefit me that much.
Okay, well, here's an issue that I'm having.
Define wealth.
Here's an issue.
Define wealth. Is it if you have $1 million? You have $500,000?
Well, I go with
$200,000.
I go with the standards that they put on, you know, who's middle class. Well, okay, so the median income for a household in the United States right now under President Trump, household of four, the median income is $68,000, which is up almost $10,000 since the beginning of his presidency.
And that median is based on
half above, half below.
That's kind of subjective too, right?
No, it's not subjective. Definitions have meaning.
Millions of dollars, and then some people making $10,000.
So
you know,
so your whole
median amount.
So the whole issue that you have with President Trump is that he's rich.
Sometimes we have to drill down and look at what's really happening in our communities, because it's like the weakest link, right? You're only as strong as your weakest link. And when you have a community that's struggling and you have crime, and you have poverty, sooner or later it catches up with those
and
who have more.
How do Democrats take care of those issues? If you elect a Democrat as the president, what would that person in their administration do to help those
first
issues?
First of all, it would be my hope that we have a president that really cares about our infrastructure so we can put people to work, right? Building our roads and bridges. That
so
would help.
You think
right?
that's the primary economic driver
Absolutely.
Is infrastructure, not
think,
private businesses?
Did I say primary? I didn't say it was primary.
That's
I
what
was
you
just
said
giving
was...
you one thing that we can do. That I would hope that their
so the president
do,
actually wants to have an infrastructure package, but Nancy Pelosi is not willing to do it, and that
well,
kind
and
of a
Mitch
bill
McConnell
originates
has
in the
lot
House.
A of bills, probably hundreds of bills over there that the House have sent to him and he's sitting on.
Social policy
really
bills. Those are not bills to deal with infrastructure. Those are bills to deal with punishing people for, as you guys like to say, who they are.
What do you mean about that?
Well, I mean, one of the bills that they just passed a bill, something to do with making every person who enters the country illegally automatically a citizen. That's what the people in your party are working on. And you're saying Donald Trump's a horrible person when we have 1,800, fiscal year 2017, 1,800 kidnappings, over 5,000 armed robberies. Just hundreds of people who were sexually assaulted and raped, All of those were done by 122,000 illegal aliens.
Okay.
And your party wants to legalize those people and not have any vetting process for people coming into the country, basically destroy our immigration process. And you're saying that Donald Trump is the one who's robbing people and destroying them and doing mean stuff to them.
Donald Trump is taking advantage of illegal aliens. He owns companies in which those workers, migrant workers, are doing labor, sweat labor for him to benefit people like him and a lot of people
hotel
in his
workers
circle.
Who were illegal we aliens were let go after they were found to be in the country illegally working for Trump hotels.
Plenty of people are still here working with people like Donald Trump and his cronies.
And
we would
and
not
they shouldn't
have
be.
There's going to be a special coming on I think it may be MSNBC and I'm looking forward to watching it. And it has to do with where our food comes from and how so many workers are low-wage workers that are picking fruit and vegetables, and it's getting to our plate. And if it wasn't for them being paid pennies, we would be paying an enormous amount of money for the food that we consume.
Let's pick it up there. This is officially the least words I've ever said during a segment, and I love it. It's Think Tank and the DGS. Quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS Think Tank. We have Stacey Washington, Jeffrey Boyd, and Keith Antone. So we have had this discussion many times, and I'm probably the least qualified to talk about it, so I'll just ask the question. As I look at it, and I... the farthest thing away from an economic savant you're going to find. But all the economic numbers I see, including women, minorities, are the best they've been in 50 years. And Jeffrey, we've had this discussion many times here in the Think Tank that it helps until you get down to a certain strata of society, and then it doesn't help. Mm-hmm. And you obviously think that the Democrats can... we can hear that the Democrats have an answer or a better answer for that. How do we do that? Because there's always going to be a lower economic class.
Yeah.
Even if that lower class were making $100,000, there's always going to be. OK, so the Trump economy, we'll just call it. And I'll grant you that Bush was terrible. Obama were doing better. And then Trump is just dunking the ball. How do you or your party, Keith, jump into raise that so that more people are being helped by this economy that all the numbers look great, but at some point it's not helping these people like the people you represent in the 22nd? What do you do? What do you need? How do we do it?
First of all, criminal justice reform.
We've already done that. First step act, done. President Obama did
more investment in our educational system, especially our urban centers, public education systems, where they have crumbling school buildings, underpaid teachers, right? And more training opportunities. I mean, that's just a few off the top of my head. But if you don't, and mental health is another one. Poor people have been taken advantage of. They've been just... you know, put out there in poor conditions without a lot of equity and access to what most people who are middle class have been exposed to. You can look at our public school system and use that as a case study. The St. Louis County schools versus St. Louis City schools. You know, every resource they could possibly think of out there. They had computers and laptops years before St. Louis Public had them, right?
Do you want to know how that gets
done? So our kids are behind.
But do you want to know how that gets done?
I'm willing to listen.
Okay, because I really get upset by this because I was an elected member on a school board, so I've seen how school board budgets work, and it was in a AAA rated district, the number one or number two rated, depending on the year, in the entire state of Missouri. So I've spent time working on this, and I also worked on a program to help get the Black Achievement Gap to collapse it for Black kids, because that achievement gap exists in inner city schools and it exists in the suburbs. And I didn't want my kids to fall into it. I couldn't really understand it. How can you be at home with both your parents there and doing well and you can't test? So first off, you're talking about the money that's being spent, and you're saying more money needs to be spent in the inner city schools. Mm-hmm. Well, inner city schools usually have a higher per pupil expenditure because they have to spend more money on security. Yes. That and so that is built into the pie. So money from the county actually goes up to the state level and then gets redistributed so that even in the city schools, those schools are supported by the suburban schools. That's the first thing. The second thing, and you can check it for yourself, that I didn't write the law. I'm just telling you about it. Mm-hmm. The next thing is that you're talking about the difference between like when computers come into a building or when smart boards come in. Mm-hmm. Well, as a mom, when our kids went to school in public schools for the first, like through grammar school, that happens because parents come in and they say, my husband is using a smart board at work. They just brought 20 smart boards and he's using it. And he thinks it would be great here. Mm-hmm. And a parent or a group of parents will get together and buy a smart board and put it in a building as a test. And then they say to the school board, their elected officials, I want you to make room in our budget to put smart boards in all the buildings. Mm-hmm. The school board says there's no money for that in the suburbs where you think all the money is. Mm-hmm. And then the parents get together in their PTAs and have fundraisers and raise the money to get them. And they start the program off. And then over time, the school district replaces them and builds them in. That doesn't happen in lower socioeconomic strata districts because the parents don't have the money to raise that stuff up, but it is not built into the pie. Now, a lot of parents who would listen to you talking about this who live in the suburbs and their property taxes are high because they're sending their kids to Christian school, but they're paying property taxes to the public school in their local taxing authority are going to get really bristly at listening to you say we need to send more money to inner city schools that are already funded at pretty much the same level, but have that huge built-in security cost. So the issue goes back to the families themselves. When I talk to you about a smart board coming in, this is something I watched happen. This isn't something I'm making up. I watched it happen in our district. There were no smart boards. And then all of a sudden, one elementary school building had them because a mom and a dad did it. The others replicated that. And that's how they came in. These other programs, technology people will, you know, your technology district person will advocate for them and they have to get it built into the budget. And so it's a long multi-year process. Mm-hmm. The issue isn't the computers in the building. It's that kids are showing up to school in kindergarten having only heard 20,000 words where their suburban counterparts have had 50,000 words. And that deficit persists year after year until fourth grade when they usually are not at reading level. Mm-hmm. So it's a parenting issue as well. And I never hear the Democrats talk about that.
Again, it goes back to equity and access, right? So what you just said is that in the St. Louis public schools, a lot of money goes towards security, whereas in county schools, it does not.
So there's some money going to security in county schools as well.
So how do we smooth that out? How do we equalize that, whereby my child in St. Louis public schools could have access to the same resources, notwithstanding the fact that you have this huge security cost? How do we put them on a level playing field so they have the exact same
school choice opportunities? School choice is the level playing field.
Well, we tried charter schools in the city of St. Louis. That's a big deal. And
we're not talking about,
right?
We're not talking about charter schools the way they were done here. The Florida model actually works.
And let me say this to you, because obviously, Stacey, you don't know a lot about living in inner city and
public. We lived in the inner city, and one of our kids went to public school in the city of St. Louis. Please don't try to talk down to me because I'm some rich suburbanite.
I'm not going to talk down.
Actually,
you
already have. You already have.
Well, you
because you said I'm obviously doing pretty well for myself as a middle class person when my husband and I started living in the city.
But that's how you presented yourself, that you were doing good in the economy.
No,
what's wrong with that?
No.
That's a compliment.
No, it's not. Not the way you said it. And
well,
here's the deal.
You took it that way because I didn't mean to offend you.
Thank you for the apology.
So let me tell you this. My daughter went to Kennard, right? So I'm going to speak to exactly what you just said and how it makes sense. I'm going to agree with you. But there's still, we have to talk about equity and access. My daughter went to Kennard. At Kennard, most of us as parents, when they needed something, we bought it for the school. We came to parent-teacher conference. We did all that kind of stuff. So she got a better, enriching educational opportunity that I wish other children in the schools that was not Kennard would have gotten. The challenge that they had was that maybe their parents were less educated. Maybe their parents had to work a lot because and they couldn't make it to the schools. There's a lot of issues. And if we care about children, we will look at that and make sure we fund our system in a way that it benefits everybody. Period. So I know what you're talking about makes sense. But you can't just say, well, you know, they're all getting about the same amount of money. So you just do the best you can with it.
Well,
that's not what I hear you saying.
That's not what I said.
You know, because you can't compare St. Louis County with St. Louis City. You just said your security. Security is a big, big expense to St. Louis public
schools.
Jeffrey,
it sounds to me like you're saying, and we can get into why, but it sounds like you're saying that there's a parenting gap, that some of the lower income families, the parents are not as engaged. I'm not going to say that they don't care as much because that's a that's a judgment, mm-hmm. but they're not as engaged in the education of their kids. And it could be because of systemic things going back generations. But
well,
is that fair to say that there is a gap?
There is. Yeah, absolutely. There is a gap. That's a fact.
And then how do you feel that?
Keith? But how does money take care of that gap? So the issue that I have is not, because it's not about me not caring. That's why I got elected to school board. That's why I did the research before we moved to the district we moved to. And when we were in the 1 year they were in public school, I thought to myself, this is absolutely untenable. And there weren't other parents there who were willing to work with me on it. So I had to go someplace where I could at least link arms. Yes, St. Louis City. We lived in the city for years before we moved out to the suburbs. No, I just think it's really interesting that I can't care because somehow I'm doing well for myself or I'm on the right. And maybe that's not what you implied, but that's what I got out of what you said.
That's what you want to walk away with.
No, I don't want to walk away with anything, but that we have shared information and that you understand where I'm coming from and I understand where you're coming from. The fact is, much of what I did when I was here on this station for on a weekly basis mm-hmm. was talk about school choice and improving public schools. Public schools were my main joint until we decided they weren't going to serve our kids well and we moved to another option. But in every case, all the writing I've done on this issue, all the speeches I've given on this issue have been geared towards saving kids who look like you and me who are languishing in public schools and ending up in the prison pipeline. I absolutely care about it, and it is my duty to care about it, not just as an American or a permanently tan person, but as a Christian, I have to care about it. And I've put money towards it, we've donated towards it, and I've put my personal time and energy towards it. The solution is not more money, and me saying that doesn't mean I don't care. It means I've already researched it, and that's not going to do it.
Okay. It's going to take more money when you get through talking, because there are a lot of issues that you have to deal with. Some of these schools actually need social workers because of some of the issues these kids are dealing with at home, and they come to school and they bring it to school, and they're disrupting the classroom. So my child cannot learn because your child is being disruptive, and all the teacher can do is sit there with the child, or you send them down the hallway somewhere, but that doesn't help that child. We need to care enough about that child to get that child some help.
We've got one more segment coming up after this, DGS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.